The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for there is hope for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you.
Ensemble, and we'll give them just a moment to disengage and make their way back to their seat. And you can be turning, church, if you would, to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter number 12. And we're going to continue on Sunday nights. This will be the third message in a line of on the subject of the ministry of intercessory prayer. Now, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about the mechanics of intercessory prayer. So you're going to need your Bible. We're going to look at several places there. Now, I will meet you in Acts chapter 12 in just a second. If you found your place in Acts 12, would you go ahead and stand, if you would, please? I'm going to read a portion of Scripture that I read last time in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 30, where God said, "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge," now notice this, "and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." But I want you to listen to the sad commentary. He said, "But I found none." He said, "I found nobody that was willing to intercede. I found nobody that loved me enough or that loved the people enough to want to stand between them and destruction." He said, "I sought for somebody. I'm looking for somebody to intercede." But he said, "I found none. I found no one that cared enough to intercede." Now, I want to take Acts chapter 12 and kind of use that as kind of the foundational a portion of Scripture for the message tonight. Now, let me just say, as we enter into Acts chapter number 12, that things by this point, as the church has gone forward, things are starting to get a little bit more dicey. Threats are going out at a much quicker pace, a much larger volume now. And so we come to Acts chapter 12, and the Bible says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also." In other words, what he was going to do was kill Peter as well. "Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quarters of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." And do what? Put him to death. Now listen carefully. "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison." Oh, but listen to this. "But prayer was made," where? "Without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Stop, time out. With the definition that we've learned about intercessory prayer, does this meet the definition? Absolutely it does. Here's a man that's been arrested, put in prison with the intentions of killing him. And guess who went to prayer? The church did. The church went to prayer on his behalf. Well, let's see what happened. "And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison." Now, would everybody agree with me? It looks like it's pretty much impossible. Why are we praying? Is that kind of how it looks to you? It kind of looks like to me that this guy's chained up. He's inside, overseen by four quarters of soldiers that are guarding. How in the world are he going to get out? And yet we're going to pray for him that God will perform a miracle and God will deliver him from prison. "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision." You know what Peter thought he was doing? Sleepwalking. You ever done that? Yeah, he thought he was sleepwalking. He didn't know whether it was what it was. He didn't know, man, am I dreaming? "When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety," in other words, I ain't sleepwalking, "that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark." Listen now, "where many were gathered together," doing what? Now, he knew where to go, and he knew where he would find them. He went to a certain place where they were all gathered together praying. "And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate." You know what she said? She ran back inside. You're not going to believe this? God has answered our prayer. Now I want to tell you, show you how spiritual the church was. Okay? I want to show you how prayer conscious and prayer warriors they were. "And they said unto her, Thou art mad." Now, stop here just a minute. Why would they say that? They were praying for him, weren't they? But wait a minute. When you go back and read, they had him in shackles. He was sleeping between guards. Hey, listen, he was not on the outside. He was probably as far into the inner prison, and it seemed impossible that God would deliver him. But he did. And when the answer came, guess what? They thought, no, God couldn't possibly have delivered him this quick. But listen now, she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Now listen, then said they, listen, this is really, they said, oh, it is his angel. Now listen, why would they say it's his angel? Because listen now, that Herod had arrested him for the purpose of what? Killing him. So you know what they assumed? They assumed, you know, he's dead by now. No, it's just his angel. You're just hearing voices. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now, here we have, church, an illustration, a real-life story that took place that depicts intercessory prayer. And did God answer these people? Yes. But here's what I want to do. I want to take tonight and I want to look at the mechanics. How does the intercessory prayer actually work? What are the components that caused God to deliver a man out of prison and give him back to his family and the church? Now, Father, bless the time we have together tonight. Thank you for the privilege of being able to open the Word of God and look into it tonight. And Lord, I believe tonight that you're looking for some people of Trinity Baptist Church to make up the hedge and stand in the gap for and on behalf of someone in great need tonight. Now, Father, would you show yourself great and mighty? And we'll give all the glory and praise to Jesus, for it's in His name we ask it. Amen? And you can be seated. Now, let me remind you, church, that the ministry of intercessory prayer is available, everybody looking up here, is available to every believer. There's not a believer in this room that cannot participate in intercessory prayer. We've already learned that when you go look at your prayer journal, you do have one, don't you? You say, oh no, preacher, it's all right here. Well, that ain't no prayer journal. Okay? For most of us, that's a marshmallow. Okay? That ain't no prayer journal. And listen, most of us can't even remember what we said 2 hours ago, much less what somebody told us to pray for at church. Amen. So that's the reason, you know what? Remember I told you I carry 3 by 5 cards, because I'm not going to remember what you tell me if I don't write it down. So I write it down. That's the reason I've got names all over these 3 by 5 cards, and I transfer them to my prayer journal for the purpose of remembering to pray. But it's a ministry that is available to every believer. You know, I'm amazed at how man, let me put it this way. I'm amazed at how many believers do not practice intercessory prayer or believe in intercessory prayer, listen to me, until they need it for something or someone in their life. Are you with me? You see, when you look for someone to pray for you or with you, you always approach people that, listen now, that you believe can get a hold of God. Am I right? When you have a need or you have someone that needs to join with you in prayer about a person or a situation, you know who you're looking for? You're looking for somebody that you believe has contact with God. That's who you're looking for. You're looking for somebody that you have seen and give testimony. You're looking for, as the scripture said, you're looking for a righteous man or woman that surrendered and consecrated their life to Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, do you really want to know how people can determine a man or a woman of righteousness? I'm talking about somebody that's willing to stand in the gap. First of all, they can determine whether they want a person to intercede for them. They can determine by their spirit toward the things of God. It's how does that person respond to the things of God? How do they respond to preaching? How do they respond to an invitation? How do they respond to the things of God? How do they respond to the Word of God? How do they respond when it comes down their spirit toward the things of God? You see, I very seldom ask a critical person to pray for me. Right? Why? Because they probably don't have contact with God. And by their own criticism and their own critical spirit, they've eliminated themselves from most people ever asking them to pray for them. You see, you can usually tell if you're looking for somebody to intercede, you can usually tell by their spirit toward the things of God. May I say to you, you can also tell by their service for the things of God. You can usually tell by their service in the things of God, for the things of God. Listen, when I see somebody serving God and when I see somebody giving out to reach people and love souls, tears running down their face because they love people, you know what? Probably a pretty good sign. They got contact with God. And I might want them to intercede for me. So you take a look at their spirit. You take a look at their service. May I say, number three, you can always tell a righteous man or woman, not just by their spirit, not just by their service, listen to me, by their stewardship. By their stewardship. Let's just get a little personal. How they treat the things of God. How they treat, listen now, the property of God. You know, folks, I've never understood it, but I see it all the time. I'm talking about people of God, members of Trinity Baptist Church, who mistreat and abuse and misuse the property of God. Now, let me say something. I'm probably not going to invite that person to join with me in prayer, because if they're not concerned about the property of God, they're probably not concerned about other things either. But I see it all the time. I see people do some things. It's very upsetting. By the way, I'll just throw this in here, folks. We have become very careless about bringing food items into the church. And the reason I know that, because somebody spilled something right there. On the front. You know what it is? Probably a Coke or something. You know what? I probably wouldn't ask those people to pray for me, because if they're not concerned about the things of God and the property of God, they're probably not concerned about anything I'm going to ask them to pray for me about. Hey, I'm just saying, listen, am I right? Hey, what I'm saying, when you go and look for somebody to intercede for you, you know what? You check the spirit out, you check the service out, you check their stewardship out. That's how you check it out. May I say next, you can also tell a righteous man or woman not only by their spirit, service, stewardship, but you can tell it by their submission to the Word of God. Do they live by the book? Do they practice the principles of this book? Do they love God? Oh, listen to me now. Are they consecrated to God? Do they try to live a holy life? See, what I'm saying to you tonight, dear folks, that's how you find somebody that's willing to stand in the gap. You check their spirit out. You check their service out. You check their stewardship out. You check their submission out. Oh, listen to me now. Then you really want to find somebody, and this is really the outward sign, it's by their separation from the things of the world. Now, I'm going to ask a pointed question. Could it be that no one asked you to pray for them because of your connections to the world? Could it be that when the Scripture says that those that are friends with the world are enmity or the enemy of God? Now, wait a minute. Listen, I was born in Mississippi, but let me tell you something. If you're the enemy of God, you probably can't get a hold of God. You probably have no contact with God. What I'm saying is, could it be that your lack of separation from the world has eliminated you from anybody asking you to pray for them or join in prayer with them? And you know what? I'll say amen right there. See, people don't like when you start talking about separation, but listen to me, folks, it's part of the Christian life. Amen. You see, when you talk about coming out and dressing a certain way and listening to certain things and all the things that's encompassed in the Scripture, and let me tell you something, I can show you and prove all of that to you from that word right there. Every bit of it. And you know what? The thing about it is, that's the people. Isn't it amazing how you look at people? People will look at somebody and say, yeah, look at that. They think they're perfect. And boy, listen, we hammer it when somebody's trying to live separated and they're trying to live a holy life for God until we have need, and then we go ask them to pray for us. Why? Come on now. Why do you ask them? Because of their spirit, because of their service, because of their stewardship, because of the submission, listen to me, and because of their separation. That's why. Because here's what you figure. You've deducted that if they're separated unto God, they may just have contact with God. So you know what? We go to them. And we ask them to intercede for us. You see, this is who people look for when they need somebody to get a hold of God on their behalf. Somebody to stand in the gap. Would we all agree that prayer works if prayer is worked? Would we all agree with that? It works if it's worked. You see, prayer takes work, and we work harder at the things that mean the most to us. Now I want to say something here. It may be that the reason most believers do not participate in intercessory prayer for others is because they do not have a need in their own life. And so since they have no need in their own life, they pray for no one else. They deduct, if I don't have a need, they don't have a need. Instead of looking for opportunities to go to the throne of grace on behalf of someone. Now, what I want to do tonight is I want to speak to you about the mechanics. Now, when I say mechanics, I mean the working parts of prayer. When I mean mechanics, I'm talking about, church, the components that make up the whole of the prayer engine. You say, you're talking about kind of like an engine in a car, preacher, that all those little parts in there? Hey, listen, most of us could care less what little parts are under the hood in the car, right? As long as we just crank it and push the gas and it goes. We're not really concerned. But let me tell you something. When it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to prayer, you must know what the components are. Because here's what happens. We get in a time where, you listen, we've got to get a hold of God and all the components are not in place. We turn the ignition and push the gas. You know what it goes? That's what happens. Why? All the components aren't in place. Everything's not operating as it needs to operate. You see, when the components of intercessory prayer are in place and operational, listen to me, church, the prayer engine gets God moving toward the answer. You want to move God? You want to move God in the direction to answered prayer? Then you know what? We've got to make sure that the mechanics are in place, that the components are in place. Now, here's some of the mechanics. You can jot these down real quick if you'd like. And I want to give them to you. Take your Bible, if you would, go to Galatians chapter number 6. Go to Galatians chapter number 6, if you would. Okay, Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. Now, folks, while you're turning that, remember we talked about in the very first time, or the very first sermon on intercessory prayer, about the things that hinder us, in other words, the things that stand between us and getting prayer answered. Remember, with one of the things that we learned was sin. Remember, because the Scripture said, if I harbor, if I hide, if I keep iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So you know what? Why do I not want to stay right with God all the time so I don't have to, when in time of need, when I need an answer from God, that I have to spend all the time getting right with God before I can even approach Him? That's the reason we need to stay right with Him. That's the reason we need to stay confessing sin. That's the reason we need to keep this flesh, self, under control. And by the way, remember we talked about strife among the brethren? Remember James said, why is there wars and fighting among you? You know what he was talking about? He wasn't talking about between the church and the world. He's talking about Christians. He said there's fighting and war among you. And he said, man, no wonder ain't nothing getting done around here. So we talked about if there's strife there. So Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, let me give you one of the mechanics here. Listen to this. This is a principle you've known and heard many, many times, but I want to make an application to intercessory prayer. Here it is. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Now, does your King James Bible say, for whatsoever? Okay, here's what you need to do. You need to take and draw a line out beside your Bible in the margin, and you need to write prayer also. He says that for whatsoever a man soweth, listen to me, that shall he also reap. So if I sow intercessory prayer, if I sow prayer on behalf of someone else, guess what the scripture said? That I will reap in the future. You see, here's the first thing. The first mechanic is this. Intercessory prayer is seed sown for the future. Are you with me? I said intercessory prayer is seed sown for the future. Look down in verse number 9. And let us not be weary in, what does your Bible say? Well doing. Let me ask you this. Is intercessory prayer, would that fall under the category of well doing? Okay. So he says, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall what? All right. We shall reap if we faint not. Don't stop. He says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. That's us. That's believers. So intercessory prayer, church, listen to me, is seed sown for the future. Now, listen carefully. The day will come when the seed that you've sown in prayer for others will bear fruit for you. You hear me? It may be that one day that God intercedes and listens and answers on because of intercession on somebody else because you went and stood in the gap for somebody. And see, what we're doing is we're sowing seed in that whatsoever, in that intercessory prayer ministry for someone because God, that will bear fruit on your behalf because you interceded for someone else. You know, church, over 20-something years of ministry, the people that I have witnessed with my own eyes and heard testimonies with my own ears of those that God has blessed, those that God has answered prayer, have sown intercessory prayer, so therefore God met needs in their life through prayer. Because they had sown the seed for the future. And they had interceded for someone else. Let me tell you something, folks. We may not think prayer is important right now until you need it. And then it becomes real important. Now, here's what happens. Everybody follow me. Here's what happens. What happens is it's time to, a situation comes up and we're not right with God. We're out of the will of God. We haven't been doing the things to keep our life right. We've let self have its way. We haven't been lived a separated life. We haven't been in the Word of God. All of these various things have happened in our life. And all of a sudden the need comes to where I've got to get a hold of God. Now listen, then here's what we do. We go to other people and ask them to pray, hoping that they're right with God. Are you hearing me? We go to other people that we think are right with God and them to pray, and we don't change. We harbor iniquity. We hold iniquity in our heart, but we're hoping, Brother Carlos, that somebody else can get a hold of God for us and that God will overlook my life and answer them. Listen to me. All right? Now, here's the thing. We want God to compromise His Word and compromise His person to meet our needs. And it doesn't happen that way. And He is not going to compromise His Word. We're going to have to stay right. You see, prayer is a present investment for future returns. But I've seen the most blessed people. The people that I have witnessed that God has moved in their life through prayer in such a way are people that invest prayer. Now, let me say something to you, church. How many of you? I'm guilty of it too. How many people come to you and say, would you pray for me? Would you pray for this and this? And you know what we do? I'll pray for you. Now listen, you know what? I think it's probably a good practice that we all should probably practice. If someone asks you to pray for something or pray for them, won't you just go ahead and pray right then? Won't you just put your arm around and say, you know what? Let's go ahead and just get a hold of God right here. Because 9 times out of 10, you won't remember it by the time you get to your car. And just get a hold of them right then or say, listen, brother, let's come down and pray. Or if ladies, if it's a lady, say, listen, would you pray with me? Say, listen, let's go right now into the auditorium or let's find a quiet place. Let's pray right now. Right now. You see, what I'm trying to say to you tonight, church, is that intercessory prayer, one of the mechanics is that you're sowing seed for your future. For your future. Can I say to you that one day the shoe will be on the other foot? It will be. It will be on the other foot. You see, I believe with all my soul that God rewards faithful intercessory prayer. And your labor, listen to me, is not in vain in the Lord. So mechanic number one, component number one is that when we pray and when we intercede, when we stand in the gap for or on behalf of someone else, we are literally sowing seed for our future. Here's component and mechanic number two. Intercessory prayer is, listen to me, unified prayer. Remember? Well, I tell you what, go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 18 for just a moment. We'll come back to Acts 12, all right? We'll come back to Acts 12 here in just a moment. Go to Matthew chapter 18. All right, Matthew chapter 18. Now, Matthew chapter 18, you come verse 15 all the way down through verse 20. I understand the context in which God is using this, but I think there is a principle that we can apply from this to intercessory prayer. Look, if you would, in verse number 18. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Listen to this. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth, listen now, as touching anything, listen to this now, that they shall ask. Stop. What is prayer? It's asking. So what Jesus is saying here, he says, now if two of you shall agree on anything as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Listen now, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, listen, there am I in the midst of them. And you know what? This thing of intercessory prayer sounds like number two, it's unified prayer. You say, what does that mean, preacher? That means you need to get other people involved. You say, what other people? Separated people. People with the right spirit, serving people. People who have good stewardship. People who are submissive to the word. You get them together to pray with you. You say, well, what qualifies us for the presence of God? It said two or three. You say, why? Because it was quite evident that in law that two or three witnesses, when you read the context of the scripture there, that witness or that testimony, that word was established. So intercessory prayer is unified prayer. This is why you need to get other godly people involved in praying with you. You say, oh, but preacher, I just don't want to get people involved because I don't want them to know what my prayer request is. How many of you believe in praying specifically? Okay? Now listen to me. If I'm going to ask somebody to pray for me, then I'm going to ask somebody I trust. Let me just go a little further. I said I'm going to ask somebody that will keep their stinking mouth shut. That's who I'm going to ask. Okay? I'm going to ask somebody that, listen, here's what I need. I believe in praying specifically. Here's my prayer request. Brother, can we start right now and pray together about this? Can I trust you to pray with me about this? I'm going to ask people that meet the criteria of a righteous man. And you know who they are? They're usually people that will keep their mouth shut. I said they're usually people that will keep their mouth shut. And their fingers off of their computer keyboard. And off of their cell phone. Now, I'm just telling you, folks, I'm just going to be honest with you tonight, okay? The reason that people aren't asking you to pray is because the one time they did, everybody on Facebook knew it. The five other people that they text knew it. And therefore, you know what? It was no longer a private matter anymore. Now everybody knew, and you gave your opinion of why it happened. Isn't this good? Hey, I'm just simply asking you, is there a reason nobody's asking you to pray for them? Amen, preacher. Let's go. Hey, we've been hit a nerve here. Let's just stay right here just a minute. Okay? Because there's a reason somebody's not asking you to pray for them. You know why? Because they see something in your life. They see the world in your life. They see bad stewardship. They see a lack of service. They see no consecration. They see no application of the Word of God. Why would they ever ask anybody to pray for them that did not meet those criteria? Hey, I'm just saying to you tonight, folks, that intercessory prayer is unified prayer. It's a prayer to get other people involved about a need. Now, let me say something else about this. Did you notice in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 18? It says that if two of you shall, you see the word agree? That's an important word. Because one of the mechanics, or part of the mechanics, is you must agree on the truth about your request. That means all those that you draw in, all those that you get involved in the ministry of praying for your need, first of all, listen now, you must agree that the request is right. Are you with me? You must agree together that what you're praying for is right. It's the right thing. Now, let me ask you this. Would everybody agree with me that it's right for people to be saved? Okay, so when we get together and say, listen, I want you to pray with me about the salvation of my grandmother, you know what we'd all agree? That's the right thing. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that? Then we all agree, right? He says, if two shall agree on anything. So we've agreed grandma needs to be saved. So you know what? We're heading down the right road here, see, of the mechanics of intercessory prayer. We've agreed that grandma needs to be saved. Why? Because it's right. Because it's right. Now, folks, there's a lot of things I'm afraid that we pray for that ain't right. And listen, God is not going to twist His Word and compromise His Word to answer anybody's prayer. Not going to do it. So we must all agree, is it right? Number two, we not only must agree, is it right? We must agree, number two, that it is rewarding. It's profitable. For instance, we go to prayer for a loved one. And that loved one's got a physical situation. That loved one has a family. That loved one may have three or four kids and they've got a health issue. Would everybody agree that if it's daddy in the home, the breadwinner of the home, the leader of the home, that it would be profitable for him to live on behalf of the wife and the children? Everybody agree with that? So what we do is we agree it would be good for daddy to remain in the family as the breadwinner and the leader. Mama needs him. Children need to grow up with a daddy. Would we agree with that? Then what we do is we agree together that that is what is rewarding and will be profitable. So we agree, and that's how we pray. You say, preacher, it almost sounds like you're saying we need to make a case before God. That's exactly what I'm saying. Do you know that's what Moses did? When Moses interceded, go back and check me out. Over and over, you know what, he'd make a case before God. Because you remember God said, out of my way. Out of my way.
He said, I'm going to destroy them and I'm going to start over with you. He says, no, Lord, hang on. He said, now if you kill all of your people right here, he said, what are the Egyptians going to say? They're going to say that you brought them out here and killed them, and what are they going to think about you? They're not going to think you're some mighty and great God. They're going to think, no, we don't want that God, because he takes them out there and kills them. He built a case. And listen to me. You know what God, the scripture says the Lord did? He repented. He changed his actions. Why? Because somebody interceded. Why? Because he made a case. He agreed. Hey, listen, you must agree that it's right. You must agree that it's rewarding. Listen to me now. It's important, this third one. You must agree that you will accept God's decision. Are you with me? I said before you enter in, you must agree that whatever God's decision is, you will accept that. And you will accept that unified. Okay, now listen. Remember in Acts chapter 12, if you turn back there, remember Peter's in prison. The church is praying. Oh, by the way, unified. And they had all agreed. Oh, by the way, this wasn't the first time that they had been of one heart, one soul, one mind. They've agreed before. And by the way, if you'll go back and read in Acts chapter 2, when they all agreed, something wonderful happened. And here they are, Peter's in prison, Herod's arrested him. As far as they know, guess what? That's what they thought. But they continued to pray. The church prayed for him. And God answered their prayer. But you know what? They were willing. Listen to me, church. They were willing to accept God's decision even if Peter had been executed. Because if you'll remember, when Rhoda came in, they said, oh, no, hon. No, hon. No, that's probably just his angel. Because you know what? There's no way God could have gotten to the inner side of that prison and broke those chains and made those guards stay asleep and led him out. No, that's probably his angel. Because, yeah, it's about time. Now listen to me. They had already made up their mind. They had all agreed that whatever God's decision was, they were going to accept it. And many of them had already accepted, right? It's what they accepted. Many of them already accepted that Peter was already gone. So whatever the decision is, that's what you accept before you ever enter in. Listen to me. The church in Acts chapter 12 was in to all of them. All of them were into agreement that it was right, it was rewarding, and that whatever God decided, it was acceptable. But you know what? God gets so much blame. He gets so much blame for unanswered prayer, but the problem is the reason that there was no favorable answer that came because the components, the mechanics weren't in place. And I said mechanics number one, the intercessory prayer, what you're doing is you're sowing seed for the future. I said number two, the intercessory prayer on behalf of a believer is unified prayer. Let me give you number three. Go, if you would, to Luke chapter 11. Go to Luke chapter 11. I want to say to you number three, the intercessory prayer is continual prayer. It's continual prayer. Let me show you something here in Luke chapter 11 that Jesus taught his disciples. Remember, the disciples asked, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And remember, he gave them the model prayer down in verse 2, 3, and 4. Look at verse 5. And he said unto them, speaking to his disciples, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves? Listen now. The friend went to a friend, so don't get messed up here, okay? So it was a friend who went to a friend that had a friend. Are y'all with me? Okay. Here's a man that was a friend of the friend he went to. And he had another friend that came. Are you with me? So he goes to this friend and he says, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me. And I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, He will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You say, what's the deal here, preacher? Intercessory prayer is continual prayer. Did you notice the guy gave up the bread not because he was his friend, but because he wouldn't stop? Are you with me? Because he wouldn't stop. Let me show what I'm talking about. All right, God, come here. You're right here. Okay, Orion, you stand over here. Okay, God says, I'm looking for somebody to stand where? In the gap. He said, I sought, but I found nobody that cared. Orion needs to be saved. Amen? He needs Jesus. He needs Christ. He needs a transformation in his life. He needs a born-again experience with the Savior. Help me out now. So here he is. Would everybody agree that Orion needs to be saved? Am I right? Come here, Adam. You're going to stand in the gap. Here's what I want you. I want you to face God, and I want you to tell him, save Orion. Come stand right there. Keep saying it. Okay? So here we go. Keep saying it. Keep going. Help me out. So here we have one that decides, I'm going to stand in the gap. Come here, Sydney. You're going to stand in the gap too. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Hurry. Hop over the pew. All right, so here's God. So he says, save Orion. So Sydney comes, and do you believe Orion needs to be saved? All right, can you come right over here, and you face God, and you say, save Orion, and now you say, save Orion. Come on up, sister. Do you believe your brother needs to be saved? You get up here too. You say, save Orion. Come up here. You come up. You believe he needs to be saved? All right, come on, come on, come on. Let me hear. Say it out loud. Say it out loud. Say it out loud. All right, so now we got three. Now we got four. Get up here, Justin. You need to believe he needs to be saved? All right, you get up here. Come on, let me hear you. Everybody, save Orion. Save Orion. Save Orion. Say, come on now. Okay. Okay, now, listen. Everybody agrees Orion needs to be saved, all right? Are we still on board with intercessory prayer and the mechanics? They all agree. Even sister agrees he needs Jesus. And they're confronting, they're come before God, and they're saying, save Orion, save Orion, save Orion. Now listen to me. Everybody listen. Everybody watch up here. On Peter's behalf, it was the whole church. The whole church was saying, deliver Peter, deliver Peter, deliver Peter, deliver Peter. Lord, would you deliver Peter? And listen, some of them may have been crying. Some of them may have been fasting. Some of them may have had their face on the ground. Deliver Peter, deliver Peter. Pretty soon, Rhoda goes to the door. Who is it? It's Peter. Let me in. Hurry. It's who? It's Peter, you know. Okay. And so, listen, she doesn't even unlock the door. She takes off and tells those who have been praying, hey guys, you're not going to believe this. Orion got born again. Orion saved. Hey, are y'all with me? I said Orion got saved. Now listen, Orion back here, he's all messed up, man. He's on drugs. He's messed up in alcohol. He's messed up on all kinds of stuff. And yet they said, listen, we believe he needs to be saved. And I came to you and I said, listen, he got saved. And they tell me that I'm crazy. I said, no. I was there Sunday night. Where were y'all? I was there Sunday night. He got born again. They said, no. It's probably somebody that looked like Orion. It was probably his angel. Now listen. Do you realize the only reason that this group right here found out that their prayer had been answered? Peter kept banging on the door. Now, folks, listen to me. God should never have to bang on the door to get your attention, let you know prayer's answered. All right, y'all can have a seat. Thank you, God. Now, what I'm saying is intercessory prayer is continual prayer. asking over and over and over again. Seeking God's face regularly, knocking God's door time and time again. Listen, sometimes intercessory prayer, listen to me, will need to be joined with supplication. That's time. And fasting, that's sacrifice. You see, sometimes you're going to have to unite intercessory prayer with other things. Sometimes what you are interceding for, listen to me, is this kind of request. And you know, this kind of request must be more involved than just a 5-minute prayer. It's going to take more involvement. You see, this kind of answer must be sought with this kind of prayer. According to James chapter 5, it needs to be effectual and fervent. According to Philippians chapter 4, it needs to be with supplication and thanksgiving. According to Matthew chapter 17, it needs to be with fasting. And then we realize in James chapter 5 also, remember that the scripture said the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. You see, how much faith must I have in order to enter into intercessory prayer and expect God to move? Here's the last thing. You want the last mechanic? I said the first mechanic was sowing for the future. I said, number two, that the next mechanic that you'll find in intercessory prayer is unified prayer. Number three, it's continual prayer. And then I want you to turn to Matthew 17. We'll find the last one. Okay? Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Okay, Matthew chapter 17. Oh, this is good stuff. Now, you ready? Remember the man that had the lunatic boy? Now, he figured, Jesus, disciples, you know, they can help me. So he takes the lunatic boy to the disciples, and obviously they tried to cast the demon, the devil, out of him, couldn't do it. So what they do is they turn to Jesus now, and they turn to him. And Jesus answered, look at verse 17, and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil and departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Why did it happen for you and didn't happen for us? Now listen, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now, wait a minute, he didn't stop there. He says, because of your unbelief, and he said, listen now, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, how big is a mustard seed? Little bitty tiny thing. So small, it'll fall into the cracks of my palms. And she said, if you just have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be, remove, listen, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You say, boy, that sure is good, preacher. Amen. Is it time to go home yet? Hey, I'm just telling you, folks, that's how we act, right? Man, this morning stuff on prayer is good. It's getting a little bit late now. We need to get on out of here. Listen to me. I wonder what's waiting on your answer machine when you get home. You see, the thing about it is we take everything so lightly until we need it. And then we get home and somebody, a loved one, somebody that's left a message on the answer machine said, listen, you need to call me right away. Please don't go to bed tonight. You need to call me right away. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost said, boy, that intercessory prayer thing sure would work good right now, wouldn't it? But, now, here's the last mechanic. Mustard seed faith can move mountains. Now, folks, listen to me. Here's what we think. We think that before we can get a hold of God, we've got to have titanic faith. And if we don't have titanic faith, there's no even sense in even bothering. Listen, you know what Jesus said? He told his disciples, men that walked with him and followed him day after day, he said, now listen, guys, you could have done this if you'd have had seed of faith as the grain of mustard seed. And he finished it by saying that if you would have had faith as a grain of mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible unto you. And then he goes on to say, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. You see, even little faith, church, can open up the impossible. Little faith can produce big results. You see, the thing about it is, I'm not putting faith in my ability to pray. I'm putting faith in God's ability to answer. That's what he's talking about. He wasn't talking about, listen, you guys, man, I'm telling you, you got little faith. I'm telling you, if you don't have Titanic faith, don't bother me anymore. No, he compared it, if you just got faith, as a grain of mustard seed. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Everybody believe God answers prayer? That's enough faith. That's enough faith to get it started. You see, Peter in Acts chapter 12, they assume Herod killed him. You see, the prodigal son's father, I wonder if he thought as days went on end and further, and days went by and weeks went by and maybe months went by, I wonder if the dad thought, you know what? He's gone to the world. He's gone. He's out there and, man, he's living like the devil and he's in the world and, boy, I wonder if he's just gone. You know how I know the daddy didn't stop praying? Is because he saw the boy coming home. You know what he did? I think he prayed and he looked. You say, oh, preacher, now we shouldn't be praying and expecting God to answer. Well, why not? Why not? Hey, you know what? When I pray, I start looking for answers. Hey, listen, folks. We have got a great opportunity. We've got a prayer list that long. We've got some people not in our church. We've got some people and pastor friends outside the church. Let me tell you something. We're going to get to practice what we say we believe. We're going to get to practice tomorrow. For those of us who can pray, and those of us who can fast as well tomorrow and do that on behalf of Pastor Cavendish, you know what? We're going to have an opportunity to practice intercessory prayer. Now, the mechanics of intercessory prayer together, listen, church, calls the components to work together so the engine of prayer moves God to look closely at our petition. I don't know about you, but you know what? I want to live a life where I can get God's attention immediately. Immediately. But there has to be some mechanics in place. When the mechanics are not there, church, and I'm not talking about evil, wicked, vile people, it's just the mechanics and the components aren't there, and they don't see God answer, and they get mad at God. Why? They get mad at God because they you know, it's like, Lord, hey, I'm a Christian. You ought to do what I ask you to do. You ought to answer me anytime I call on you because I'm a child of God. Well, let me throw this out and finish up. Do you know, I love my kids, but you know, I didn't give them everything they asked for. That goes back to that agreeing that whatever God's answer is, you're going to have to agree to accept whatever the decision is. And you have to do that before you ever enter in. Because if God chooses not to answer that prayer, then you must accept the decision by faith and give God thanks and glory that He even entertained your prayer. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. How many can say, preacher, I'm saved, born again, no question about it. Just slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me, no question about it. I've been saved, been born into the family of God, and happy about it. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. Father, we ask you tonight that you would show mercy.